My mother, Bonnie Jean, believed in genes. She was proud of her father, Lachlan Mitchell's Scottish origins, and saw in him the traditional Scottish virtues of honesty, hard work, and thriftiness. DNA ancestry analysis more than 100 years later revealed he was in fact 50% Irish. She, too, possessed these qualities and felt that they must have been passed down to her from him. His tragic early death meant that her only non-genetic legacy was a set of tiny little girls' kilts he had ordered for her from Glasgow. Perhaps, therefore, it is not surprising that she valued her father's biological legacy over his material one. Growing up, I had endless arguments with Mother about the relative roles played by nature and nurture in shaping us. By choosing nurture over nature, I was effectively subscribing to the belief that I could make myself into whatever I wanted to be. I did not want to accept that my genes mattered that much, preferring to attribute my Watson grandmother's extreme fatness to her having overeaten. If her shape was the product of her genes, then I too might have a hefty future. However, even as a teenager, I would not have disputed the evident basics of inheritance that like begets like. My arguments with my mother concerned complex characteristics like aspects of personality, not the simple attributes that, even as an obstinate adolescent, I could see were passed down over the generations, resulting in family likeness. My nose is my mother's, and now belongs to my son Duncan. Sometimes characteristics come and go within a few generations, but sometimes they persist over many. One of the most famous examples of a long-lived trait is known as the Habsburg lip. This distinctive elongation of the jaw and droopiness to the lower lip, which made the Habsburg rulers of Europe such a nightmare assignment for generations of court portrait painters, was passed down intact over at least 23 generations. The Habsburgs added to their genetic woes by intermarrying. Arranging marriages between different branches of the Habsburg clan, and often between close relatives, may have made political sense as a way of building alliances and ensuring dynastic succession, but it was anything but astute in genetic terms. Inbreeding of this kind can result in genetic disease, as the Habsburgs found out to their cost. Charles II, the last of the Habsburg monarchs in Spain, not only boasted a prize-worthy example of the family lip, he could not even chew his own food, but was also a complete invalid and incapable, despite two marriages, of producing children. Genetic disease has long stalked humanity. In some cases, such as Charles II's, it has had a direct impact on history. Retrospective diagnosis has suggested that George III, the English king whose principal claim to fame is to have lost the American colonies in the Revolutionary War, suffered from an inherited disease, porphyria, which causes periodic bouts of madness. Some historians, mainly British ones, have argued that it was the distraction caused by George's illness that permitted the Americans' against-the-odds military success. While most hereditary diseases have no such geopolitical impact, they nevertheless have brutal and often tragic consequences for the afflicted families, sometimes for many generations. Understanding genetics is not just about understanding why we look like our parents. It is also about coming to grips with some of humankind's oldest enemies, the flaws in our genes that cause genetic disease.